Good morning, church family. Hello. What a way to start off the morning, right? Yeah. My name is Amber Sparza, and I am the student ministry director here at Windsor Road. I have served here for 7 years. It is my pleasure to minister to our 5th through 12th grade students. My favorite part of my job that people don't always think about, that I always think about, is I get to study this word and I get to be a storyteller. I get to share a special story every week with our students. And I need to tell you something. Are you ready? Today, I'm your storyteller. This is weird. I'm shaking, okay? All right. But it's a pleasure to share this with you this morning. The church you entered into today is filled with different people from many places and various walks of life. We have different education backgrounds and may speak one or more languages. Some of us are single, some of us are married, some of us are students, some of us are retired, some of us are hoping that our children can keep it together for the next 15 minutes while they're sitting down. Some of you are empty nesters, and some of you are waiting for the Lord to bless your family and to give you a child. Some of you have been here 40 years, like you've been doing your time, okay? And some of you have been faithful and you came back for a second week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. We gather each week, sometimes overjoyed and sometimes with our hearts that are heavy. We gather here when the Illini make us proud. I wrote this earlier this week, if you can't tell. And we also gather here when the Bears do not make us proud. And we gather here each week with our many differences because we are unified by one story. This one story is found in this book. If you have this book, would you pick it up? If you're holding this book, would you pick it up? This book, we believe this book. We see this book as truth. We teach this book every single week. We will tell you to open it. We will tell you to engage with God's Spirit because this is His words to you. There's a lot of different stories in the Bible, but the Bible, with all the stories, comes together to form one narrative, and it forms the gospel message. And today, I'm going to tell you a story that you've heard before. But what I'm going to ask you to do is to not check out. I'm going to ask you not to think that this story is for someone else. Because the reality is that this story has power. It says in the scriptures that this story has the ability to cut people to the heart. It changes lives. It's changed our students' lives, and it's changed the lives of people around you. In His word, we are convicted, encouraged, challenged, and empowered to seek and honor God with our mind, body, and spirit. This story, it reveals His character, and we see His plans. So I'm going to tell you a story. Are you ready? Let's pray real quick before I dive in. Father, guide us through your story by your spirit. Satisfy our souls with the joy of your salvation. Give us a childlike faith. Give us new eyes. God, would we hear your story today? In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, God created all things. Order, nature, animals, humans. And with humans, he called us very good. In his kindness, he shared his image with us, and he gave us breath. And then he shared with us the task of stewarding what he created. I don't know about you, but I work with teenagers. There are teenagers who won't even let you touch their Lego collection. But the creator of all things, he gave his people his image, his creation to take care of, and he gave them himself. He gave them a relationship. It was good and it was right, and we were close to him. But as the story goes, there's a tricky enemy, and he came to deceive the woman and her husband. And we see for the first time that humans, they know separation from God, something they were not created to know. They were not to know what it's like to be apart from him. We see God walking in the garden. We can assume that Adam walked in the garden with God. But something had changed. It says in the scriptures that their eyes were opened and they understood something for the first time. God was apart from them. They had disobeyed him. And so we see that this pattern plays out in the scriptures. Humans continue to struggle with sin. They continue to think thoughts, do things, say things that are hurtful and harmful and against God. And it feels hopeless. It feels like, what is going to happen next? Nothing good can happen. This is a pattern. We are stuck. But there's another pattern happening in the Bible. We see a pattern of God. We see God's heart on display. We see God's grace and his power. We see his holiness, and we also see his love. And throughout the scriptures, there is a promise. In the Old Testament, he talks about there will be one to come who is going to redeem what has been broken, what has been hit, what seems irreversible. God tells his people, he speaks through a family, he speaks through prophets, he says, I am working. There's these consequences to sin, and God, these consequences happen, but God continues to be faithful, and he holds this promise with us that there will be one. People studied it, people waited and waited, and eventually this one came to earth. And then he steps in, and his name is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. A little bit louder for the kids, Jesus. Wonderful. He comes from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from there, okay? Could he be the promised Messiah? Could he be the one that's going to redeem, make things right? And people begin to take notice of him. See, he's eating with sinners. He's hanging out with a bunch of dudes that would not typically hang out together. He's healing the sick. And he's delivering this message. He's saying that the kingdom of God is here. This message sounds odd. It sounds weird. Doesn't really make sense. Sorry, I keep hitting that. There was a man. He was a religious leader, and he was so fascinated by Jesus that he had to meet him. And he scheduled a meeting with him in the evening hours. I don't know who's scheduling meetings with Randy Boltinghouse, like late at night. You couldn't be that important, boss, okay? No offense, please. I love you, bro. Okay, our boss. I'm doing so great. But this powerful religious leader, Nicodemus, he comes to meet with Jesus, and he has all these questions. He wants to know these answers. Jesus is sounding all cryptic. But Jesus shares his plan with Nicodemus. Would you open God's word to the book of John, chapter 3? It's a verse that you know by heart, but I want you to open up God's word and to read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus drops this like bomb on Nicodemus. What? Save the world? God did not send his son to condemn the world, to save it? What's going on? It sounds odd at first, but the story continues. And after Jesus' 3 years of ministry, there is a resistance. One day there is a plan that involves betrayal from a friend. It involves a bogus trial because of the religious leaders and a violent death. Again, it feels hopeless. Kind of like the garden, right? How can this story turn around? His friends are in hiding, but when the woman went to visit the tomb, they found it empty. They saw him. He was alive. He is alive. And it changed everything. the story, the narrative of the Bible, what we have seen so far, it changed because he is alive. See, it made sense now. Jesus came to save the world from sin and death, and he did just that. And this story, this message, it spread everywhere. If you don't believe me, look around this room. We're on the opposite side of the planet 2,000 plus years later. A movement started because it was true, because eyewitnesses saw him, and they declared the message that they saw, and today you are hearing this message from me. He is alive. The Apostle Paul describes this gospel as well. Move your Bible, like flip the pages to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I'm going to start. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of God. The message of salvation is what kept the believers going. It kept them strong through persecution, and it united them in the midst of cultural differences that wanted nothing more than to tear them apart and to make them doubt the one who has unified them. And so this is a big deal. This story has continued on, and we are now responsible of this story. If you have accepted this story, if you have made this story your own, your responsibility is to tell it. You cannot keep it to yourself. You have been saved, therefore you speak. You declare truth. You tell people who you were. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Tell people who you were so you can tell them who your God is. You have been commissioned to share this message. And if you don't know how to tell this message, if you're like a little nervous, because I work with teenagers, sometimes we're a little nervous, I'm going to give you some hints of how you can do it, okay? So here's how you share the message. One, you need to talk at the beginning. You need to remember that at the beginning, God desired to be with his creation. He desired to be with them, to be in relationship with them. It was good. It was perfect. They took care of what he had. But sin came into the story. And what we learn in these verses, both from John and from Romans, is that we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. Our common problem is sin, and we struggle. We struggle. Romans says that we are still weak. We're struggling, trying to win this battle with sin that we weren't supposed to win. We were enemies of God, and our reality was wrath. It was separation from God. That's not to shame you, not to scare you. That was the honest outcome. Separation from God and the wrath of God. But point two, are you ready? But Christ died and rose again. While we were sinners, Christ died. Some would die for a good person. He died for his enemies. He died for those who spit on him. When he is on the cross and people are saying terrible things for them, he's even saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But Christ died. And 3 days later, he rose again. And he changed the story. We don't have to be stuck in sin. We don't have to be hopeless. Because our third point tells us this. We are reconciled to God. What was broken is restored. What was guilty is justified. What was doomed is saved. Wrath has been satisfied through Jesus' sacrifice. And now we can rejoice because we have been reconciled to him. What the kids have told you this morning, these are their words. He loves me so much. Jesus completely breaks the chain. It's what he has done and what he will do. The entire story of this old book is how God pursued, how God cared, and how people bought back his people, or how he bought back his people who he created. That is the message you have been given. That is the message that has been entrusted to you. Have you made it your story? The students, they asked a question. They answered the question, what does the gospel mean to them? What does the gospel mean to you? I'm only 29. I'll be 30 in like a week. Woo! Thanks. Pray for your girl. Okay. And in my 29 years of life, and in my 7 years of ministry, I know that in this church, there are different kinds of people here. And so I'm not going to pretend that I know all of you, pretend I know your story, pretend that just because you sit here that you have accepted the gospel. I'm going to talk to three different people today, okay? For those who are on fire, for those who feel this message in their bones, who feel alive in Christ, ready to testify, keep going. Keep going. Work well, rest well. Continue to stir yourself up in the Lord. Continue to delight in him, read his word, be with his people, serve him. Continue to share how he has changed your life. Keep going. We're cheering you on. The second person in this room, those who are either tired or comfortable, perhaps discouraged. I'm going to say this lightly, and I'm going to hold you in the spirit. Wake up. Wake up. Look around you. This world is hopeless, but you have the best message to share to them. You are in your school. You are at your job. You are in your family and your friendships. How are you showing up? How does this story look? How is it displayed in your life? I need you to come back, lock in. Students, say lock in. Thank you, they needed to hear it, okay? Prioritize prayer and fasting. Ask God to renew your love for him. Commit to being a part of a body of Christ. If it's not Windsor Road, that's fine. Find a Bible-believing church. Grow in community where people can challenge you. Commit to showing up. Commit to making it a priority. And then tell someone where you're at. Be honest. Seek accountability. Wake up. The world needs to hear how this message has changed your life. Let your people come alongside you and help you do that. The third person I'm talking to is the person who has not yet accepted this message. Maybe this is your first Sunday here, and you're like, what is this Jesus thing about? Maybe you've been sitting here for 30 years. And you have not made this story your own. You know all the right Christian words. You know all the right Bible answers. But you have not made a heart commitment to make him your Savior. I need you to remember that this story has power. And it always comes with an invitation. This story, it invites you to come in. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. In the words of Randy Boltonhouse, there's only sinners at Windsor Road Christian Church. There's no shame here. Come to the throne of grace. Jesus is waiting for you. Today, do not harden your heart to his word. If he's speaking to you, if he has called you, if you hear him knocking, would you open it? Would you make his story your story? Would you repent? Would you be baptized? Would you live a life that honors him? Let today be that day. You can't use this, because I just told you the gospel. You can't say, well, I never heard the gospel. Wrong. I just told you the gospel. Okay? You can't use that excuse when you get to heaven. Okay? Amber told you. All right? And for all three of you, something you need to know is that with all of those different points I mentioned, all of them require God, and all of them require people. Come to God. Be reconciled to him. You are reconciled to him through Christ. And come with each other. Come to your neighbor. Come to your family. He is making all things new. If you desire to know who he is, if you have more questions, come talk to Pastor Randy. Come talk to me. Come talk to our elders. We want to tell you about this man who has changed our story. He is good. He is kind. He is just. He is alive. And he is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive. We thank you that it has spoken to our hearts today. Holy Spirit, we pray that we would just continue to live out your story, that we would continue as your image bearers, as your children, with hope, with joy. God, I pray for those who have their fire, fan the flame, Lord, keep them going. For those who are distracted, who are discouraged, who are tired, God, wake them up. God, would your spirit nudge them? I pray that this week that they would receive confirmations that you are leading them to speak to the people around them, to change their schedule, to switch things up, and to come back to you. And Father, I pray for those who have not yet made you their Lord, who have not accepted you as their Savior. God, I pray that in your gentleness, that right now, that you would be near them, that you would just let them know that you love them, that you see them, and that you're inviting them. God, give them the boldness to say yes. Give them the boldness to a journey of getting to know you deeper. God, they don't have to know all the words, the right thoughts. God, just help them to be honest and tell someone today so that they can move forward on this path that leads us to you. Thank you that you are alive, and thank you that you are with us. We lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.